The answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe, and everything is...
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast whose flock of sheep is 90% CGI. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Don, Player One Ames.
It's game over for my opponents.
Alana, hella NorCal Perel.
It's gonna feel hella good when I beat you.
And John, Philip Sousa Casale.
I'm gonna ring your Liberty Bell on the Washington Post.
Hello to everybody, and thank you so much for joining us for today's match. It is the first match in our Season 5 Rancho Carne High Division. Scoremaster Dan is out today, so reprising her role, but in a different capacity from last week, let's say hello to Scoremaster Tara. Hi, Tara.
Hi, Taylor. I am here at Dan's desk. I thought I was going to be late because I had to run outside really quick and burn his presidential flashcards.
That's a joke for 20 people, but those 20 people loved it. Thank you, Tara. Also with us today is our pal, Production Master Dave. Hi, Dave.
Merchandising, merchandising, where the real money from the movie is made.
Well, I think that's our cue to get into our first game, a round of My Champion. In this game, each one of our players has selected a champion from somewhere out in the world of pop culture. We choose the battle those champions are fighting. Canadian podcast host and avid theme song fan, Don Ames, who is your champion?
The only individual that I would ever invest my life into is Futurama's Captain Zep Brannigan.
Audiobook binger, Alana Perel, who is your champion?
My champion is another captain, Captain Raymond Holt from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
And Starfleet Academy washout, John Casale, who is your champion?
Everyman character actor, Dick Miller.
All right, three fantastic champions all queued up. Production Master Dave is our judge today, so I think it's time to spin the scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion would have the easiest time getting someone's digits? Don, why is Zap Brannigan going to be the best at getting someone's digits?
Well, clearly he's going to try his hardest to initiate snoo-snoo with anybody within his immediate vicinity while inevitably striking out. I'm assuming he's going to get Kif's digits because he's actually going accidentally going to slam Kif's hand in a door, removing all said fingers.
Love that, Don. Next up, we have Captain Raymond Holt. Alana, make the case for Ray Holt.
I mean, anyone who's seen Ray Holt knows his beautiful smile, so that alone might do it. But he's persuasive and suave and a detective slash genius. So who wouldn't want to give him their digits from that? And he'll use his wiles and extensive symphony knowledge to just automatically have the number given. And also, he'll say hot damn when he gets it.
Thank you, Alana. And John, make the case for Joe Dante standby, Dick Miller.
Absolutely. Not only Joe Dante standby, but also Roger Corman standby. Dick Miller, before he was actually an actor, he got a PhD in psychiatry. So even if he doesn't make the immediate connection, he can use that psych knowledge to sneak it out of you. But all he really has to say is, have you seen Gremlins? Gremlins 2? Chopping Mall? The original Little Shop of Horrors? That's me, baby.
Looney Tunes back in action. That's what would get me to give him his digits. But of course, I don't get to make the decision on our winner. That falls on Production Master Dave.
Well, when I heard the names, knowing what the challenge was, I was like, oh, Don, this is going to be so tough because, you know, he's a loser in love, this Zap Brannigan. He is famously not somebody anybody wants to give their digits to. And then Raymond Holt, he's also not really outgoing. We all love him, but he's a tough nut to crack in universe. So then I thought, well, by process of elimination, John obviously has it. But John, the challenge is, pick a fictional character from the world of pop culture, not a character actor. So now I don't know what the hell to do because I actually have to pick between Zap and Raymond Holt. So it comes down to this. Don's alternate explanation for getting them digits actually wins him this ridiculous My Champion scenario.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Congratulations, Don. You'll go first in round one, and you also get a crack at the half point. Get this question right, and you'll have a little competitive advantage before the game even really starts. Here is your half point question. Speaking of useful digits, what is the last of the six numerical values of the Valenzetti equation as heard on Lost?
It is 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, so 42.
42.
Made it more complicated than you needed to, but yes, 42 is absolutely the correct answer. All right, Don, that also means you're going to go first in round one, Spaceballs the Flamethrower. We all know that merchandising is where the real money from a movie is made. But that doesn't mean that every attempt at merchandising is competent, noble, or even desirable on any level. In this game, I'll describe a misbegotten piece of merchandise from a movie, TV show, or other pop culture property. You name the property it comes from. For instance, if I told you you could buy a miniaturized toy version of the hanging piece of meat that this franchise's title character uses as a punching bag, you'd know I was talking about merchandise from
Rocky.
Yes, from Rocky. That would get you 10 points. If you need a hint, I can tell you a bit more about that merchandise, but then a correct answer is only worth 5. After that, I'll ask a related follow-up trivia question for 5 more possible points. Don, we're going to start this round with you.
Here we go.
Baskin-Robbins put out cheesecake ice cream covered with what looks like green mold to coincide with the third installment of this sci-fi series, which came out in 2012.
Scythe with mold. I'm going to need a hint on that one.
It was called Lunar Cheesecake, which doesn't have anything to do with the time travel plot of this movie.
Time travel plot with mold. I don't know. I'm not going to do it.
That's going to be a Lunar Cheesecake sold in conjunction with Men in Black 3.
Sure.
Still get a follow-up, Don. Also in the spacey realm, several international chain restaurants put out hamburgers with black buns to coincide with the release and later 3D re-release of this prequel.
With black buns. Nope, not gonna get it either.
It was the dark side of that burger for the Phantom Menace tie-in meal. Next up, over to Ilana. Kids' Disney movies and outdated corporatized stereotypes dictate that Disney-loving girls love fake cosmetics, so they'll love the fragrance based on this Disney flick with notes of amber and lily of the valley that come from a bottle resembling blue frosted glass with a molded pink crown on top.
I'm gonna guess it's Frozen.
Hey!
Yes, for 10 points. Perhaps the worst Frozen merchandise promised to make you your own kind of beautiful. A 2-pack of the so-called these cosmetic devices are called Demi Wispies and cost about $8.
Fake eyelashes?
For another 5. Ilana, strong start to the game. Next up to John. They made an actual product of the snacks from this classic cartoon show, but corporations are cowards and they are not, in fact, marijuana-laced edibles. Instead, they're Keebler graham cracker sticks.
And surprisingly tasty. Scooby Snacks. Scooby-Doo.
Yes, Scooby-Doo's correct. This other Hanna-Barbera cartoon has had many lines of breakfast cereal, including winter fruit and candy corn, in addition to the 2 better-known ones.
Winter fruit and candy corn? Hanna-Barbera cartoon, winter fruit. I'm not pulling it.
The 2 better known cereals are Fruity Pebbles and Cocoa Pebbles. Oh. That's the Flintstones. Back to Don. We all chuckled at the lamp shaped like a lady's leg in a high heel in this movie, but I'm not sure how many people would actually want to buy one for themselves. Luckily, you can if you want it, I guess.
What? Who wouldn't want to buy a Christmas Stories lamp for themselves?
Seriously.
Correct. If you like that, you'll really like a Ralphie doll, which of course comes with this accessory.
It's got to be the BB gun.
Yes, the Red Ryder BB gun.
Question for you, Taylor. Was this game primarily done by Dan Cassino?
Yeah.
Yeah, that question smacks of Dan Cassino dismissiveness.
Oh, yeah.
Dismissiveness. Oh, yeah. It's amazing.
Alana, one of the most notorious merchandising flops of all time was the early 80s video game based on this hit sci-fi movie, thousands of copies of which ended up being dumped in a landfill.
Should I take a stab or take a hint? I'll take a hint.
In the game, you flee from the feds, fall into pits, and can raise your neck.
I'm gonna fall into pits, I think, like Empire Strikes Back. The sand pit?
John knows this one.
E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
Oh! Ugh.
Yes, the video game based on E.T.
My first crush was Elliot from E.T. too.
Still for Alana, a Mean Girls video game is kind of a weird idea to start with, but since it didn't come out until 2011, this actress wound up being erased from the cover of the game.
Lindsay Lohan?
Yes, did not make the cover of the Mean Girls video game. Next up, back to John. Novelist Max Allan Collins, who eventually wrote the comic strip version of this property, handled the novelization of the 1990 movie. The filmmakers didn't want the ending revealed, so the book was missing the last chapter.
1990 movie, Dick Tracy?
Correct. The novelization of this 1992 horror flick has the name of a famous book in its title, as well as the name of the author of that book. But this novelization is not itself that original gothic epistolary novel.
So it has the name of a... Mary Shelley's Frankenstein?
Right in the right range. That's going to be the novelization of Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. The official title of that book is Bram Stoker's Dracula, : a Francis Ford Coppola film by Fred Saberhagen.
Ouch.
Rolls off the tongue.
Kicking it back to Don. Online retailer ThinkGeek has a tradition of putting out popular April Fool's merchandise that ends up getting made for real. The most famous of these involved a sleeping bag made to look like a tauntaun, a creature from this 1980 sequel.
That would be Empire Strikes Back.
Weirder than that is an in-action figure of a black basalt monolith based on this sci-fi classic.
2001?
A Space Odyssey, yes. Next up, back to Alana. The second action figure based on actor Wayne Knight was tied to Seinfeld. The first was tied to this 1993 blockbuster.
Knight, I think The Dark Knight, but I don't know if that's the correct direction, so I will take a hint.
He comes with a Trank spray gun, which, given that he's killed by a poison spray to the face, feels a little ironic.
I have no idea, and I want to say Batman Forever.
I love the Wayne Knight going in that Knight direction. But I think Don knows where this one's going.
That's got to be Jurassic Park.
Now, if we ask you if the actor's name was Wayne Dinosaur, would you have gone to Jurassic Park?
No. I've never seen Jurassic Park. Can you believe that?
You should. It's good. It's on HBO Max right now.
I should. I don't know.
You still get a follow-up, Alana?
Oh.
Sure, Nedry is a bad action figure, but you can also get a mutated amphibian Tom Paris, complete with three weird alien babies that he made with the captain from the worst episode of this 1995 to 2001 show.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? You said mutant! I should not focus on words.
I get it.
John knows this one.
Why do I get the ones that are just disappointing? Star Trek Voyager.
Correct. All right, John, this next one's for you. In the year 2009, Warner Brothers promoted this theoretically mature superhero movie by distributing blue condoms in a box with a smiley-faced cover.
Is that Hancock?
Don?
Is it Watchmen?
Oh, duh.
Yes, the smiley face from Watchmen. Back to John. In 2011, condoms were used to promote this supposedly tween-friendly romance series, which is ironic given that the main couple doesn't need that sort of protection, and that's kind of the point for the first few movies in the series.
Oh, Twilight.
Another 5 points for John will take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Tara.
It's very close. Alana has 20 points, John has 25, Don is in the lead with 30 points and the half point.
All right, close game to start. Still, anything can happen. Let's kick it back to Don for your next bad movie or pop culture merchandise. Sculptor Tracy Ann Lister has made dolls depicting the characters from this series as incredibly lifelike infants, letting you relive the scenes in which the main character's parents are slaughtered and he's scarred by the baddie.
Good grief. Okay. Is it Batman?
These are infant dolls of characters from Harry Potter.
Oh, mercy. Oh.
And I'm sure the terrifying pictures of them will show up on our social media this week.
Oh, that sounds so creepy.
Don't at me.
Still for Don, the creepiest baby merchandise version of a Harry Potter character has got to be this villain, whose infant iteration gives new meaning to the old got your nose game.
Oh, it's Voldemort. That's disgusting.
Dan.
Next up to Alana. Dino De Laurentiis pushed this movie as a new Star Wars, complete with toys and children's activity books. Perhaps he shouldn't have hired David Lynch to direct it.
So Twin Peaks is a show, so it's not a movie. And, oh, David Lynch. I'm going to need a hint because I'm feeling Mulholland Drive, and that's maybe where I should drive to. I'll take a hint.
In De Laurentiis' defense, Lynch had been offered the director's role on Return of the Jedi at about the same time, which would have been a trip.
Pass.
That's going to be Dune, the 1984 movie version of Dune. Still for Alana, you could even get a set of three reels, 21 3D pictures in total, showing the film Dune for use in these popular toys.
Oh, the viewfinders. No?
The Viewmaster.
Damn it, Master.
Very close.
I even did like the movement for it, so you knew I knew.
Back to John. At various times, you could have bought Twinkies with green filling that served as tie-ins to two different movies. For Ghostbusters, it was supposed to be green slime. But in this movie, it's resembling something you'd eat before getting kicked out of a swamp.
Kicked out of the swamp. Hint, please.
At least one of the movies actually had a scene where a character talked about giant Twinkies. This one, though, I guess the title character likes gross stuff, I guess?
Yeah, Shrek.
Yes, the green-frilled Twinkies for Shrek. John, worse than that, just in terms of a bad match between property and the food being sold, are the fish nuggets based on this late 80s animated feature.
Fish nuggets based on a late 80s animated feature?
Yes.
Oh, Little Mermaid.
For five more, correct.
Awful.
No, they were tasty. They were good. They were good.
Made with real flounder.
It was real flounder.
Oh my God.
All right, one more piece of misbegotten merchandise apiece. This next one is for Don. According to legend, a scarf worn by the title character of this series came out when the notoriously cheap show bought yarn to have a scarf knit by the sister of a producer. The one used in the show itself was 23 feet long, but the official version to consumers was only 18 feet long. What a ripoff.
Okay, now I'm kind of torn between taking the hint or taking the risk. But I'm going to shoot for it and go Doctor Who.
Before I ding or buzz you, what is the alternative to the super long scarf that you were thinking of?
Oh, I had no alternative. That was the thing. It's either Doctor Who or The Field.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. Well, with your gut. Well done. Don, in the 1960s, these Doctor Who enemies were so popular that they had their own line of merchandise, including Halloween costumes and soap.
I'm going to have to say Daleks.
Correct for another five. Alana, your last piece of merchandise. Micro Machines decided to do a line of car toys for kids, somehow based on this R-rated sci-fi franchise, whose iconography is not primarily associated with cars. Unsurprisingly, H.R. Giger declined to work on the designs for them.
I need a hint.
The playset even has the sick bay, where the central sexual assault metaphor of the franchise is first made explicit.
Clearly, I don't watch spacey sexual assault movies. Pass.
John?
Is this Alien Aliens?
Yes, the Alien series. Alana, Micro Machines got the license to do Aliens toys after the success of their toys based on this venerable sci-fi TV franchise, which had a lot of different vehicles for them to feature.
Transformers? Oh.
No, sorry, sometimes we throw the same person two Star Trek-related questions in the same round just to throw them off. That is Star Trek.
For someone who's only seen one Star Trek movie.
And John, closing out round one. Yes, there was indeed a cereal called Urkelos used to market this TGIF sitcom. The Winslow family was nowhere to be found in the marketing.
Family Matters.
Correct. The same year as Urkelos, the same company made a cereal based on a 1991 Kevin Costner movie. We see Kevin's butt in the movie, but the cereal shapes are inexplicably phallic.
Not inexplicably. I mean, arrows look kind of like phalluses. Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
A strong end to round one. We'll close it out for John. Next up, the scores from Tara, and on to round two.
Yeah, we'll have to ask Dan why that was inexplicable. Smooth as a baby down there.
Hey everybody, it's Taylor here to tell you about this week's Patreon content. For those who come and join us over on our Patreon, you get to hear a bonus game every Friday morning. This Friday, our game is called Let There Be Barnage. With Venom, Let There Be Carnage coming out, we're going to talk about Woody Harrelson's old times back in a bar. So we've got a whole big set of trivia about sitcom stars who've made their way into major Hollywood blockbusters, bridging the gap from the small to the big screen. Want to get on the fun? Join us at usaquizshow.com/membership for all that weekly bonus content.
Now it's time for this CBS All Access score break. CBS All Access. The app may have disappeared, but you're probably still paying for it. Our scores after round one are as follows. We have John in the lead with 55, Don just behind with 50 and the half point, and Alana with 20. That means she'll get to go first in round two.
That also means Alana's going to get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. Alana, I'm going to ask you a question that has three possible answers. You're going to have three guesses to match as many of those answers as you can, with 10 points for each answer you can match. Here is your Threequalizer question. What are the three films that make up director Baz Luhrmann's Red Curtain trilogy? One is a romantic comedy, one is a romantic drama, and one is a romantic musical. Name those movies.
So one is Moulin Rouge. One, I'm going to guess Romeo and Juliet.
Romeo plus Juliet, but we'll,
I'm sorry,
we'll take
I pictured it in my mind, and then I saw Leo behind the thing looking at Claire.
Very distracting.
I know, I just thought about like late 90s Leo. So drama, comedy, or musical. So comedy, Baz Luhrmann. Curtain love. Why do I not find Baz Luhrmann funny? No, Australia, I feel like it's not hilarious, but I want to guess that for fun. I'm just going to guess Australia.
It's going to be on the earlier end of his career, his first feature, Strictly Ballroom.
Oh, that is slightly funny.
Still, 20 points to you for Romeo plus Juliet and Moulin Rouge, which is going to put you right back in the hunt for the lead. We're going to keep things romantic, though, for round two, entitled Love Backstory. Sometimes crafting sequels for romantic comedies can be tricky, so if we want to extend a franchise, we might have to go the other way, into prequel territory. In this game, I'll give you the name of a made-up prequel to an existing romantic comedy movie with a title based entirely on the name of the original movie, rather than what would have happened beforehand. Semantic prequels only today. For example, if I told you that the prequel was called 15 Candles, you'd know that the original was
16 candles.
That would get you 20 points for 16 candles. If you need some help, I can tell you a little bit more about the movie, but then a correct answer is only worth 10. Afterwards, as a quick follow-up, I'll give you the names of three actors that we might have had to recast for the prequel, but only two of them were actually in the original. Name the actor that wasn't in the original for 10 more points. Alana, we're going to kick off round two with you. The prequel to a 2017 movie, this one called The Little Cough, which probably isn't anything.
2017 movie, Little Cough. The Big Sick.
Yes, for 20. But then who wasn't in The Big Sick? Ray Romano, David Alan Grier, or Doris Roberts?
I have seen that a couple times. I see Kumail and Emily, and I don't see Doris Roberts.
Correct for another 10. Next up to Don. The prequel to a 2019 movie, this one entitled Two Christmases Ago.
Two Christmases Ago. Oh, man. Is it three Christmases ago? Oh, right. Last Christmas.
There it is. Last Damn. Christmas. The sequel to Two Christmases Ago.
Of course.
Now, Don, who wasn't in Last Christmas? Michelle Yeoh, Constance Wu, or Emma Thompson?
I believe it was...
Int.
wasn't. Thank you. Michelle Yeoh.
She is in that movie. Constance Wu, her Crazy Rich Asians co-star, is not. Next up to John, the prequel to a 2002 movie, that prequel entitled Hospitality School in the Bronx.
Hospitality School in the Bronx? Oh. Made in Bronx? Made in the Bronx?
Made in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
But who isn't in Made in Manhattan? Jenna Elfman, Stanley Tucci, or Amy Sedaris?
I've never seen it, so I'm going to take a stab. Jenna Elfman.
Correct for another 10. Back to Alana. Your prequel to a 2015 rom-com is entitled The Passive Safety Controls on the Railway Line Aren't Working, but it should be fine.
Oh my God. Wait,
I just got that.
Can you say it again just for fun?
The passive safety controls on the railway line aren't working, but it should be fine.
My brain is like...
You're going to be so mad when you hear it. At Dan.
Hint, please.
A 2015 Amy Schumer movie.
Oh my goodness, train wreck. Tara, you're right, I am mad at Dan.
Now, who is not in Trainwreck? Rachel McAdams, John Cena, or Tilda Swinton?
Rachel McAdams is not in that.
For 10 more. Next to Don, your prequel to a 2018 rom-com is called Setting Up the Least Intensive Fundraiser at the Fair.
Setting Up the Least Intensive Fundraiser at the Fair?
This kid's so stupid.
I'm going to take the hint on that one.
A 2018 Joey King movie.
Oh my God.
It would help if I knew who Joey King was.
He rules all the other Joeys.
She does.
Oh, she does. Ugh. Apologies, Joey. Well, you just got an additional piece of information through failed humor. Congratulations.
Yeah, true. It's a little half a hint.
And if it helped, it would have been great. But no, I can't get this.
That is the Netflix rom-com The Kissing Booth.
Rom-com franchise. I believe they're on their third Kissing Booth after all.
Don, who is not in The Kissing Booth? Molly Ringwald, Jennifer Grey, or America's Next Top Model contestant Michelle Allen?
Let's go with Molly Ringwald.
She does appear in The Kissing Booth. Jennifer Grey does not. Next to John, your prequel to a 2010 rom-com is called Every Other Odd Numbered Year, Unless It Ends in 99.
Every Other Odd Numbered Year. Oh, every other. Leap Year.
Yes, Amy Adams' Leap Year. Who is not in Leap Year, John? Matthew Good, French Stewart, or John Lithgow?
I think Matthew Good is the antagonist, handsome dude. But I've never seen it, so I'm going to guess French Stewart.
Good guess for 10 more. Next up, back to Alana. Your prequel to a 2006 rom-com is called Foreboding Countdown.
Okay. Foreboding Countdown. New Year's Eve.
I like that guess, but the answer is Failure to Launch.
Oh, of course.
Who is not in Failure to Launch? Zooey Deschanel, Patton Oswalt, or Katy Perry?
Katy Perry is not in that.
Correct, but her doppelganger, Zooey Deschanel, is in it.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Dawn. This rom-com is a prequel to a 1945 movie. It's called Holiday Traffic Heading Up I-95 Through White Plains.
It's what? Oh. Hey. Holiday Traffic. Could you repeat it again? Please,
no, don't do it. Make him figure it out.
Holiday traffic heading up I-95 through White Plains.
I will take the hint.
A 1945 Barbara Stanwyck movie.
Sure. I'll be home for Christmas.
Looking at Christmas in Connecticut. Going north from New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good round for me.
It's the only reaction I've wanted from that. Thank you, Don.
Dan is always trying to expand our horizons, and we hate it!
Well, Don, clearly you're going to know exactly who's not in Christmas in Connecticut. Mm-hmm. But you have a 1 in 3 shot, so let's go for it. Is it not Sydney Greenstreet, Una O'Connor, or Peter Lorre?
As much as I'm tempted to go with Una, I'm going to go with Peter Lorre.
Hey, 10 more points.
Whoa!
Back over to John. Your prequel to a 2008 rom-com is called A Few, But Not So Many Bridesmaids Outfits So As to Be Unusual.
27 Dresses?
Yes. Who's not in 27 Dresses? Alice Eve, James Marsden, or Kristen Ritter?
I'm going to guess Alice Eve.
Correct for another 10. That'll throw to our next score break from Scoremaster Tara.
This has been a tough round for Dawn, who has 60 points and the half point. Alana has 100, and John is in the lead with 125.
This next one is for Alana. Your prequel to a 2009 rom-com is called The Wife-to-Be's Negotiations Are in Danger of Breaking Down Entirely.
Oh, Bride Wars.
Yes, for the full 20. Well done.
I've seen that twice. Why?
Who is not in Bride Wars? Bryce Dallas Howard, Chris Pratt, or Candace Bergen?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Correct for another 10. Kicking it back to Don, we're looking for a prequel to a 2020 rom-com, this one called The Hatchlings of Growing Affection.
The Hatchlings of Growing Affection. The Hatchlings. I'll take a hint.
A 2020 Issa Rae movie.
This round's going to continue to be the bane of my existence, so I'm going to have to pass on that.
One of the early straight-to-Netflix casualties of the pandemic, that is The Lovebirds. But Don, who is not in The Lovebirds? Kumail Nanjiani, Anna Camp, or Ken Marino?
Let's go with Kumail.
Kumail is the lead of that movie with Issa Rae. Ken Marino does not appear, despite that it's directed by Michael Showalter. Next up to John, we're looking for a prequel to a 1953 rom-com. Thanks, Dan. It is called The Customs Line at Fiumicino International Airport.
Could you repeat that for me?
The Customs Line at Fiumicino International Airport.
I believe it or not, I think... is it The King and I?
Fiumicino is the airport in Rome, so that is Roman Holiday.
Okay, that makes sense.
John, who is not in Roman Holiday? Is it Peter Lorre, Gregory Peck, or Eddie Albert?
I'm going to guess Eddie Albert.
Once again, Peter Lorre, not a star of rom-coms.
You mean he's not reprising his role from M?
He puts the M in Roman Holiday.
Ooh. All right, one more rom-com prequel apiece. This one is for Alana. It's the prequel to a 2011 rom-com, and it's called Ross and Rachel Get Health Insurance from Their Employers.
Friends with Benefits.
Yes, Justin Timberlake in Friends with Benefits. But who is not in that movie, Alana? Mila Kunis, Maggie Grace, or Jenna Elfman?
Maggie Grace is not in that movie.
Correct for another 10. Dawn, your final rom-com prequel is a prequel to a 1999 romantic comedy. It's called The Bride Seems to Be Very Interested in the Various Exits from the Wedding Hall.
Is that Runaway Bride?
420, yes. Correct.
Here we go.
Nice.
Don, who's not in Runaway Bride? Joan Cusack, Annie Potts, or Christopher Maloney?
Joan Cusack?
She is in that movie. Annie Potts is not in Runaway Bride.
I will take the one, thank you.
And for John, to close out round two, your last rom-com prequel is for a 1995 movie. It is called As You Were Brushing Your Teeth and Putting on Your PJs.
While You Were Sleeping.
Yes. Who's not in that movie, John? Is it Peter Gallagher, Doris Roberts, or Peter Boyle?
Doris Roberts.
Making her second appearance in a follow-up, just like Peter Lorre. Doris Roberts and Peter Lorre are now the official mascots of the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. And neither of them are alive to collect their checks. On that morbid note, let's kick it back to Tara Taylor for the scores and onward to the final round. Before we get to our last round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Tara's pop culture riddle by next week's episode, and you can win the chance to name a score break here on the show. Tara.
This is, let's give credit where it's due. This is Dan's riddle. I'm just reading it. To take me down, you'll need hands that are steady. I've fought everyone, Rambo and Joker, Jason and Freddy. My signature combo, it uses a spear. If you do as I ask and get over here.
Think you know that answer? Find the page for this episode at our website, usaquizshow.com, and show off that knowledge. And then, if you want to find the answer, check our social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram, at USA Quiz Show, for riddle answers and all sorts of other ephemera from the week's episode. Thanks for that riddle, Tara. How about the score update?
Round two truly did change everything. Alana now has 160 points, John just behind with 155. Don has 80 points and the half point. That means he'll get to go first in the lightning round, and he will need, because of the half point, just 8 correct answers to pull ahead.
All right, Dawn. Still anything can happen, though, in the lightning round. Players will have their choice of categories and are given 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Press Your Luck, It's Not a Tumor, Welcome to the Real World, and Reginald Dwight. Now, these topics are a little bit mysterious, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or perhaps keep something easy away from one of your fellow players. Don, in third place, you get to choose first which of the four categories would you like. Once again, they are Press Your Luck, It's Not a Tumor, Welcome to the Real World, and Reginald Dwight.
I will go with It's Not a Tumor.
What do you think's coming to you in this category, Don?
Well, I'm led to believe we should think it's something to do with Schwarzenegger, but I'm assuming it's going to be rare diseases of Eastern Asia.
What you people have done to these players. It's cruel. It's cruel.
Curse you, Dan Casino.
Don, you're in luck. This is actually about the life and career of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Woo-hoo. 90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Don, are you ready?
Yes.
Schwarzenegger was the first civilian in the U.S. to own one of these vehicles.
Hummer.
The Simpsons parodies Arnold's films and persona with this character.
Oh, Rainier Wolfcastle.
Schwarzenegger took on this supervillain role for a 1997 sequel.
Freeze, Mr. Freeze.
The producers of this combative reality show sold it to execs using clips from The Running Man.
Gladiators. American Gladiators.
American Gladiators. This man was the first actor to be elected governor of California.
Ronald Reagan.
He announced his run for governor of California during an appearance on this late night show.
Johnny Carson.
The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. He played opposite comedian Sinbad in this holiday flick.
Jingle All the Way.
Schwarzenegger protected this Ugly Betty and Desperate Housewives actress in Eraser.
America Ferrara.
Vanessa Williams. This 1994 espionage-based action comedy was a remake of the 1991 French film La Totale.
True Lies.
This 1993 flop was rewritten by Shane Black and polished by William Goldman.
Pass.
This 1990 Paul Verhoeven flick was remade in 2012 with Colin Farrell as the lead.
Pass.
This comedian played Schwarzenegger's American counterpart in Red Heat.
Pass.
He turned down offers to reprise this role in movies that became Kull the Conqueror and Red Sonja. That character, Conan. All right, Tara, let's hear the Don report.
First, let's go through the passes. The 1993 flop that was rewritten by Shane Black and polished by William Goldman is Last Action Hero. The 1990 Paul Verhoeven flick that was remade in 2012 with Colin Farrell in the lead is Total Recall. And the comedian who played Schwarzenegger's American counterpart in Red Heat was Jim Belushi. Don got 6 correct, ending with 140, sadly, out of contention for winning today. John's up next. He only needs to get 1 answer correct to pull into the lead.
All right, John, 3 categories still on the board. They are Press Your Luck, Welcome to the Real World, and Reginald Dwight.
I'm going to stay away from the third one because I am not all that strong with music. And I think the Real World one might actually have to do with people that were on the Real World. So I will do Press Your Luck, please.
I know you got there by process of elimination, but any wild guesses as to what Press Your Luck's going to be?
Irish people in pop culture. I don't know.
Not quite. We're going to be looking at printing presses. So this is going to be pop culture all about print journalism.
Oh, okay.
90 seconds on the clock. John, are you ready?
I am.
2017's The Post chronicles the publication of these government documents.
Pentagon Papers.
The Devil Wears Prada's Miranda Priestly is ostensibly based on this Vogue editor.
And a pass.
Season 5 of this series moves much of its action to the newsroom of the Baltimore Sun.
The Wire.
The play The Front Page took on this title when it became a movie with Rosalind Russell.
Pass.
The period journalism series Good Girls Revolt had 1 season on this streaming service.
Amazon.
This band's A Day in the Life opens with the line, "I read the news today, oh boy."
The Beatles.
Characters on Freeform's The Bold Type work for this fictional magazine.
Pass.
A subplot in this fantasy comedy concerns a rivalry between magazines Poise and Sparkle.
13 going on 30.
Maya Gallo works for Blush magazine on this sitcom.
Just Shoot Me.
He won an Oscar for playing Bren Bradley in All the President's Men.
Hoffman. Dustin Hoffman.
Jason Robards. This Mad Men star then played Ben Bradley Jr. in Spotlight.
John Hamm.
John Slattery. William Miller is on assignment for this magazine in Almost Famous.
Rolling Stone.
The U.S. movie remake of this series moves the action from London to Washington, D.C.
Pass.
Public Enemy had a 1991 song called A Letter to This Newspaper.
New York Times.
New York Post. All right, let's hear the John report.
John had a very strong round. Let's go through the passes. Devil Wears Prada's Miranda Priestly is ostensibly based on this Vogue editor. You were almost there. He said Anna. That's correct. Anna Wintour.
Wintour.
The play The Front Page took on this title when it became a movie with Rosalind Russell. That's His Girl Friday. Characters on Freeform's The Bold Type work for this fictional magazine, Scarlet. The U.S. movie remake of this series moves the action from London to Washington, D.C. That's State of Play. John got 7 right. He is now in the lead with 225 points. That means Alana will have to get 7 right to pull into the lead.
All right, Alana, your final two category choices are Welcome to the Real World and Reginald Dwight.
I have a little bit of an Elton John blind spot, and Welcome to the Real World makes me think of a Monica line, Welcome to the Real World, It Sucks, You're Gonna Love It, from Friends. So I have to go with that one.
Unfortunately, it is not Friends-related, referring to the line Welcome to the Real World spoken in the film The Matrix. So we're going with all questions about the directorial efforts of the Wachowskis, Lana
and John,
Lily.
Wow, John, enjoy your win!
You don't know.
You don't know. This could be great.
Good luck, Alana.
Good luck.
Good luck.
90 seconds on the clock. Alana, are you ready?
Nope. But yes.
The Wachowskis coined the visual effects term bullet time in the screenplay for this movie.
The Matrix.
Emil Hirsch has the title role in this 2008 Wachowskis movie.
Speed Racer.
This Cloud Atlas author is co-writing Matrix Resurrection screenplay with Lana Wachowski.
Pass.
This 1996 movie had the first same-sex kiss to be nominated at the MTV Movie Awards.
Cruel Intentions.
Bound. Lana and Lily wrote and produced but didn't direct this Alan Moore adaptation.
Watchmen.
V for Vendetta. This Wachowski's Netflix series was shot on location in 9 different countries.
Sense8.
This The Matrix character was recast for the third film after the death of Gloria Foster.
Pass.
This actress, formerly SNL's Pat, plays a version of herself on Lily Wachowski's Work in Progress.
Julia Sweeney.
The first produced screenplay by the Wachowskis was for this Stallone and Banderas film.
Pass.
Jada Pinkett Smith's Niobe takes the lead for this Matrix video game.
Pass.
This actor won an Oscar for playing Stephen Hawking 9 days after his wild performance in Jupiter Ascending.
Eddie Redmayne.
They co-directed Cloud Atlas with this Run Lola Run filmmaker. It's going to be Tom Tykwer. All right, let's hear the Alana report and the final scores.
First, let's go through the passes. The Cloud Atlas author who is co-writing the Matrix Resurrection screenplay is David Mitchell. The first produced screenplay by the Wachowskis was for the Stallone and Banderas film Assassins. And Niobe takes the lead for the Matrix video game Enter the Matrix. Alana needed to get 7 answers correct to pull into the lead ahead of John. She got 5.
No!
Our final scores are Dawn with 140 and the half point, Alana with 210, and John, our winner, 225 points.
Whoa.
John, congratulations on us. Woo!
Nice!
Congratulations, John. But that does mean it have reached the end for Alana and Don. Thank you guys so much for being here. Really, really had a fun time playing with you. Alana, is there anything you'd like to plug? Something you'd like to point our listeners towards?
My friend Stephanie is a great makeup artist for women over 40, and she's a riot. So she just started a TikTok, Stephanie with an F, Fritz Makeup, and her Instagram is great too, and Stephanie Fritz Makeup Artistry, and she says she'll be your makeup BFF, and it's true, and I'm so lucky she's my friend. Check her out.
Fantastic. Thank you, Alana. And Don, anything you'd like to plug?
Well, I am a person with a pulse who lives in North America, so I have a podcast, so I'd love people to listen to it. It's called Even the Score. We talk about soundtracks and scores for movies, TV shows, and video games, so you can find us at Even the Score Pod on all of your social medias.
That sounds awesome. Thank you, Don. But the big congratulations today are for John. John, you're going to be moving on to the Rancho Carne High Division Finals. In the meantime, though, is there anything you're going to be watching, listening to really increase that knowledge base for your next game?
Anything before 1960?
Christmas in Connecticut it is. Thank you, John. Is there anything you'd like to plug before you go?
Nothing personal, but I want to plug a couple favorites. There's a charity in Indianapolis called School on Wheels that provides tutoring services for kids facing houselessness. It's a great organization. I've volunteered with them before, so send some good love and money to their way. And then one of my favorite comedians, Jackie Cation, jackiecation.com. She's fantastic, hilarious, and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet.
Thank you, John. And listeners, you can also follow John as the treble clef emoji on through the season 5 bracket. Well, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next time as we make our way back for the second elimination match of the North Shore High Division. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Tara, thank you again for filling in, and Production Master Dave, thanks to everyone for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. It also means Alana gets to make up some ground and potentially get right up near there the lead. Right up near there the lead? Christ. It also means Alana's going to get a chance to make up some ground with the... It also means Alana's gonna chit.
Oh my God. Taylor's got vapor lock.
Take a moment.
Sorry, Taylor.
No, it's great.
Calm blue ocean. Calm blue ocean.
That you can also do it, Taylor. Means Alana.
That also means Alana's gonna get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer.